Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, yeah, all good. So maybe just to start, the current struggle against dictatorship and for a transition to civilian rule began in late 2018 with the overthrow of the Omar al-Bashir regime. Just can you tell us, our listeners, about some of the recent developments in Sudan? What's, I guess, the situation on the ground like?
So basically, after the Sudanese revolution, the Sudanese revolution continues, but at some point of the Sudanese revolution, there was an agreement that was signed with the military and the rapid support forces to share power for some time along with civilians in order to transition to democracy and to civilian rule in the long run. The rapid support forces is a paramilitary group headed by Hemeti, who's a warlord, and they're all warmongers. The military, the Sudanese armed forces, is headed by Burhan, and who's also a warmonger. They're both known to have killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, in Darfur during the genocide, and continue to kill people in Sudan to this day. They've had a disagreement, or basically just to put it very briefly in a nutshell, these two psychopaths, Hemeti and Burhan, heading the rapid support forces and the Sudanese armed forces, are fighting over power and who gets control of Sudan and to rule Sudan.
Hmm. And what can you give us a bit more info, tell us a bit about, I guess, the protest kind of movement? Because one of the kind of, I guess, as someone who's been following, the kind of developments quite closely, I mean, one of the inspiring things has been this kind of like establishment by the protest movement of these sort of grassroots sort of resistance sort of committees. And I guess, what is the kind of role that they're, I guess, kind of playing, especially in terms of the coordination of the protest and also in terms of the kind of the empowerment that they're giving to kind of ordinary people within Sudan against the kind of repression?
No protests. At the moment, it's an incredibly life-threatening situation. The entire nation, particularly those in Khartoum, they're the most heavily impacted at the moment. Everyone is in fear for their lives. To give you a glimpse of what's happening at the moment, everyone is hiding in their homes, feeling unsafe inside their own homes because fighting erupted all very suddenly in the capital without warning. People woke up to the sounds of bombs and stray bullets breaking their windows, coming into their houses. So everyone is on the floor right now. Everyone is either under their bed or under their dining table, entire families in the dark, in most like locations, struggling to find electricity or water. So no one is on the streets except for those who are risking their lives to flee Khartoum and get to another state. What the resistance committees are doing right now, which is the very little that's within their power, is to continue providing life-saving support. Because, as I said, there's people struggling to find drinking water, children hungry in their own homes. So resistance committees, I can speak for the ones where my family lives, like in a neighborhood like Bahri, the resistance community of Bahri has been helping provide medicine to people who need things like asthma, respirators, urgent life-saving medicine, water, supporting with bringing doctors to people's homes, which is an extremely, they're risking their lives basically to do so. They've been supporting also with getting bodies, there's dead bodies off the streets. And that's also another, they're risking their lives to do this, been coming together very bravely and supporting their neighborhoods with these basic but extremely important things. In other neighborhoods where fighting is extremely high, like Khartoum 2 and like Amarat, for instance, which is where the rapid support forces have bases, it's been extremely difficult for resistance committees to do anything. What they're doing, which is also, again, extremely brave, they're coming together to evacuate people from their own homes because living in these areas is have been, people have had bombs, have had their homes bombed, and they would still have to stay in their house because there's everywhere else is extremely dangerous. Their cars looted, even gas is being stolen out of people's cars. It is that difficult because think communities have also been supporting with things like that, providing transportation, providing gas to help people move and get out of these situations. But that's really the entire capital.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it sounds like the kind of image you're kind of getting is that it, in terms of like the protest movement, it's in a very kind of desperate, kind of dangerous kind of situation. And I guess, I want to go into a bit of a question around, I guess, the response of the international community. But I guess before that, I guess I wanted to sort of ask about, okay, if people are in such, within Sudan are in such desperate situation, I mean, has there been a role that aid is, foreign sort of aid is playing in supporting people? What is the Sudanese community kind of doing abroad, in terms of like fundraising, you know, in terms of practical kind of support? Are some people within Sudan also trying to seek, asylum, within other countries? Yeah, can you tell us a bit about if there's been sort of any sort of developments along that?
Yes, that's a good question, Jacob. As I said, the situation in Sudan, and especially in Khartoum, but also in Lubayid and Niala last week, is extremely desperate. I want you and listeners to really just take a moment to imagine this. Imagine just waking up one day, the sound of bombs, and you're unable to leave your house. The amount of food that you have, that's all you're going to have until God knows when. Your relatives and your friends, you can't see them, you can't get to them. There's darkness, there's no electricity, there's no water. Everyone's life is in danger. No one can get out. There's not even a moment of ceasefire. Mm. Now, getting aid in a situation like this is impossible. It's impossible. Like what the neighborhood committees are doing and the resistance committees are doing is not sustainable. They're doing their best. They're getting medicine, they're getting food. It's not sustainable. We need humanitarian assistance. But to get there, we need a ceasefire. So we've got a call to action now. And for all listeners, if you've ever cried for Yemen, cried for Ukraine, spoken up for social justice, spoken up for freedom, this is your moment. Please get in touch with your members of parliament, with your contacts within the government. Demand that a ceasefire happens in Sudan. Request that the Australian government pressure these psychopaths, pressure Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces for a ceasefire, even for a few hours, so that people just get some peace. And so the humanitarian corridors are created for humanitarian assistance to get to the people. And also to request that the Australian government provide humanitarian assistance to Sudan. People are short of food. Hospitals have no medical supplies. People who are in need of a dialysis, cancer treatments, even women giving birth, they're unable to do that. Women are giving birth in their own homes with no medical care whatsoever. We need humanitarian assistance. We need to request the Australian government to please provide humanitarian assistance to those who need it. And last but not least, we also need to remember all the Sudanese people on temporary visas here in Australia. They can't go back. Where can they go back to? We need to request the Australian government to please allow these people to stay. They've got nowhere to go, and they're dealing with a lot, and they're in need of psychosocial support. Open Australian doors for refugees. Refugees are not people who... Refugees, we always think of refugees as this other group. When crisis hits so close to home, when it hits home, you realize this refugee could have been you. A refugee could have been your mother. A refugee is someone who really did not want to leave, but they've got no other place to go. Let people come in. They've got Sudanese Australians family. Let them join them. People need each other in situations like this. If it was you or your mother or your father, you would want them to be with you. So, again, the call to action is to speak up, contact the Australian government, hopefully get Sudanese Australians evacuated out of Sudan, get those who are here to be able to stay safely and find safety in Australia. And I'm sorry, I'm extremely exhausted. The fear and the helplessness of the situation is exhausting. But the ask is for people to speak up. We've got the Sudanese community.
To stop you there, maybe how about we go into the question of then, so you can focus the listeners. You've given kind of detail about the kind of call to action and, you know, what is kind of needed. But I guess, how has the Sudanese community here kind of responded? And I guess, and in terms of a practical sense for our listeners, how can we unite and show solidarity against the coup? And are there any upcoming actions, petitions, or groups to get involved that you would like to highlight to our listeners? So I'll leave it to you there.
Mm. Yes, Jacob. I was just about to announce that the Sudanese community in Victoria is organising a rally this Saturday. It's happening at the State Library of Victoria at 1 p.m. Again, at the State Library, 1 p.m. this Saturday. There's going to be a rally against the war in Sudan. Please feel free to join us. Bring a sign or a piece of paper that says stop killing in Sudan. That's more than enough. Hopefully this will get our voices across to the media, to the Australian government and to the world. There's a lot of initiatives, fundraising, a lot of things that are happening. I could share links with you and possibly you could share it on your website. All this information and more can also be found at the rally when you join us. If you are on social media, follow the hashtag Keep Eyes on Sudan. Hashtag Keep Eyes on Sudan. It will give you all information about what's happening on the ground right now and also fundraising links and ways that you could help.
And I just wanted to also ask, what has been the response of the international community, like especially in terms of government response, not necessarily people. Like for example, what has been the position of the United States, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, and also the Australian government's response? Has there been any condemnation of this, you know, this clearly these terrible kind of human rights abuses that have been dealt against the Sudanese community?
Look, in summary, it's been useless. There has been condemnation here and there, just, you know, very empty words that have had no effect on the ground, no effect whatsoever. The danger right now is that the situation could easily erupt into a civil war that would allow for a lot of international influence coming in as well through the allies of both these groups. As you know, the Sudanese armed forces, Burhan, got the support of Egypt, the U.S. and the Rapid Support Forces. They've got the support of Russia and who else? Can't remember at the moment, but it's basically it's a cocktail of all sorts of weaponry and all sorts of outside influence. That's really all for the resources. Hemeti has got control over gold mines in the West. Sudanese armed forces have got control of other parts, other resources, and it can just escalate into a really ugly, ugly, ugly situation with the international government's interests really in the wrong place. We have not seen anything positive come out of the empty statements they've made so far.
Okay. We got running a bit. Thanks for that, Sarah. And I guess we need to wrap up the interview, I guess, now. And I guess you want to have any kind of final comments for our listeners, and especially since there are some listeners who might just be tuning in now, feel free to kind of repeat the kind of upcoming protests and any sort of actions.
Yes. Again, I'll say exactly what I said earlier. If you've ever spoken up for social justice, freedom, this is your moment. Speak up for what's happening in Sudan. Contact your MPs. Contact your contacts within the Australian government. Apply pressure for the ceasefire to stop. Apply pressure for humanitarian assistance to reach people who need it the most. come join us at our rally on Saturday, 1 p.m. in front of the State Library of Victoria to find out more about other ways that you can help end this war and this killing in Sudan.